Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I wanted to deal this morning with a topic that I thought was known. I think it should be known. And I'm about to give Musser, like Dr. Daniel, about why it's not known. And the topic is protocols of what happens on Friday if this happens to you. Namely, this picture in which you're stuck in traffic and there's 179 minutes to Shabbos. What do you do? What do you do when you get close to candle lighting time? What do you do if you're in that car, bumper to bumper traffic on a Friday? What do you do before? What do you do when you're in the traffic? What do you do afterwards? And I'd like to dedicate, please, this year to the memory of the matriarch of our family, Safta Marga, who's in this picture with another gentleman who looks very ugly. This Safta was the matriarch of our family, died exactly a year ago today, and today is her yahrzeit. She was of German origins, came to America, and then made Aliyah to Israel at a very advanced age. And I have to admit, if I have to pinpoint one of the many traits that she had, it was what I've said many times here around this table. And that is that one of the most important Jewish values, Arthur, is being normal. One of the most paramount, germane aspects of an Oved Hashem is to be normal and to be very careful not to be abnormal. She had a certain calm demeanor to her, that this is what Jews do. They go to shul on Shabbos. When people come over, you give them snacks. When ultimately they leave, you say goodbye. Death is part of life. And I have to admit, I want to dedicate Dafka this topic to Safta Marga, not just because the yahrzeit came out today. I could have picked another topic. But because I believe that when I read the following article on the next slide, there's something about the normality of a Jew that bothers me. And here's the article. I'm sure you saw it. If you didn't, here is the article from Arut Sheva.
Who is that young, good-looking guy next to her?
What?
Who is that young, good-looking guy next to her?
Good-looking guy. I do have my qualms about that last statement. But how can two Jews ever agree? One says Shalom Aleichem, the other says Aleichem Shalom. That fine gentleman, try to imagine me with hair and without a beard. Shalap Kakim, Bilu et Shabbat betachanat delek. Because of the traffic jam, they spent Shabbos in a gas station. Unfortunately, Erev Shabbos Chanukah, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy on the road between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And unfortunately, because of a car accident, people were killed, people that we actually do know of. And because of it, there was a terrible traffic jam. And people were stuck in traffic for hours and hours on end. And eventually, because they saw that candle lighting is coming, not just Chanukah candle lighting, but real Shabbos candle lighting time, they pulled in, Bruce, to a gas station, as it says here. They went into the gas station. Hamishpachot, these families, kalelu gam yeladim ktanim, they had small children. Shene'otzu lahavir Shabbat kfu'ah lelo ochel. They had to pass it in Shabbos, freezing Shabbos, without food. Now, people came to the gas station, offered them blankets, offered them help. Acha'orim silvu. The parents refused because they didn't want to enjoy, take benefit from Chilul Shabbos of a Jew. And eventually it says here that a nice, kind Arab from a nearby village heard about it. And itzati lahasia otam habaita. Uvala mishpacha hichlit shelo. I wanted to drive them home, but the head of the family said, no, thank you. They're going to stay in the gas station for a few more hours. And as you can well imagine, when this story hits the wires, then just like the picture behind Arthur from this morning, there's going to be yay and nay. Namely, there are going to be people that are going to say, wow, this dedication to Sabbath observance is amazing. It's just breathtaking. It brings tears to my eyes. I want to sing a Shomer Shabbos Abeni Mabat. And others will say, these people are absolutely crazy. They subjected their kids to a freezing Shabbos in a gas station. They should be arrested. What should they be arrested for? For going ahead and torturing their kids? They want to torture themselves, that's their business. So as you can well imagine, yay and nay and backwards and forwards. Now, I read this article twice. I don't know if it actually happened the way it says it here. Let's be honest with each other, everyone. Alex, this is the press. So, you know, the press likes to take things sometimes and not exactly report 100% the truth. But assuming this happened, I want to understand today, does this article make you go ahead and say, wow? Or does it make you say, disgusting? Does it repulse you? Or does it actually increase your respect for Shabbos observant Jews? And my initial reaction when I read it was that there's something about the normality of a Jew that bothers me in this article. Now, I don't want to come along and say that statement and just leave it there saying, oh, they're abnormal. That's not the way Jews should go ahead and relate to another Jew who's trying to be observant, who's trying to keep Torah and mitzvot. So let's see, before we get into the protocols, what should the reaction be? And I want to bring two things to the table. Number one, the Mesilat Yesharim. Have you heard of the Mesilat Yesharim? There's a picture here of the so-called Ramchal. I believe the real picture of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzatel, 1707 to 1747. He didn't have a beard. And that's one of the reasons why he was put in Cherem. They didn't let him teach students in Italy. He was deported from Italy, eventually made it to another country, to Amsterdam, and ultimately wrote the famous Mesilat Yesharim. He didn't have a beard. I believe he shaved. But in this picture,
well, he's
has
a little
beard.
More controversial than that.
Oh, you think? I'm trying this morning to be very politically correct, Arthur, but don't hold your breath. That's going to last. So, the Mesilat Yesharim says, Hinei chayav adam lishmor et kol ha-mitzvot b'chol diktukehem b'fnei mi sheyeh ve'lo yira ve'lo yivosh. A person has to keep mitzvot and not be embarrassed. So if it's time to daven on the plane, you have to daven on the plane. Not with a minyan. We spoke about that many times, but you have to daven. If you have to wash, you have to wash. And yes, people around you will ultimately maybe laugh, maybe say it's strange, but this is what we have to do. However, the Mesilat Yesharim says, all this is true in ha-mitzvot shechayavim anachnu b'hem chova gmura. This is with regard to mitzvot we're obligated in. Ach yesh eze tosafot chasidut. If you have personal chumras, personal minhagim, she'im yaseh otam ha'adam lifnei hamon ha'am yisachaku alav yitlo tetsu. If you do it before people, they're going to laugh at you. V'nimtzeu chotim v'ne'enashim al yado. And because they laughed at you, they're going to be punished. And you don't have to do these things, whatever they might be. Here, it's better not to do it. So, case scenario, if you happen to be in an airport and it's time to daven, you go to a corner, you daven, you put on your tallis and your tefillin. That's what the obligation is. There's no way around it. And if people laugh, they'll laugh, you'll try to explain to them afterwards, these are phylacteries, we pray to God, and Be'ezrat Hashem, you'll fall on a nice, wonderful non-Jew, and he will understand. If it's a Jew that's secular, you may have a harder time, because he's more biased to seeing a Jew praying. But a non-Jew will probably respect it. However, if I have a minhag on Shabbos to sing Zmirot, and I'm stuck in an airport for Shabbos, for whatever reason, my plane came in late, and I'm sitting there. Should I start singing Zmirot out loud? And as we Jews do, bang on the table with our fists and sing Yom Zeh Mechubad out loud so everyone should hear? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, that much you don't have to do. That much you don't have to do. That's not an obligation that's worth people laughing at you. So as you could see here, if it's an obligation, let people laugh, let people scream at me on the wires. That's an obligation. But if it's not an obligation, then we have to really think, should we do it? And from this perspective, I leave with you the following dilemma. What does the Rambam say about Chilul Shabbos when it's allowed? New Arthur, what did I just say? Chilul Shabbos when it's allowed. How can that be? How can Chilul Shabbos be allowed?
Sakana.
Sakana. If indeed someone is in a life-endangering situation, says the Rambam, va'asur lihitmahamea b'chilul shabbat l'chol ha'sheyesh bo sakana, k'shenemar sheyaseh otam ha'adam v'chay bahem. You're not allowed to waste any time. And when someone's dangerously ill, you call a doctor, you call an ambulance, you do what you need to do. If you start saying, well, it's Shabbos, you are violating the law. Why, says the Rambam, and I quote, halamadita, she'en mishpatei ha'Torah nekama ba'olam, ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam. God's laws are not to revenge the Jewish people, are not to make their lives miserable, but rather are laws of rachamim v'chesed v'shalom. Anyone want to translate those three terms? Rachamim? Not a rhetorical question.
Merciful, mercy.
Merciful, thank you. I know it's hard for you to speak this morning, Bruce. Thank you. Chesed, loving kindness, and shalom. What's shalom?
Peace. Peace.
So if you go ahead and you say, oh, Shabbos, we have to be in a gas station and we have to freeze and we have to get sick, then if it's an obligation, it's an obligation. But if it's not an obligation, it's a sakana to stay there. And you and your little mind say, no, I'm going to do it anyway. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that the whole world is going to say about your religion called Judaism, that religion is a religion that does what?
Puts you in danger.
Puts you in danger, tortures a Jew, not to mention the fact, makes him sick, not to mention the fact, revenges you for being Jewish, and onwards and onwards. One of the great poskim of our generation, who we probably don't know as well, is Rav Re'em HaKohen. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Otniel. I just got his responsum. I already read almost 100 pages of it. Amazing. He's a Talmud Muvak of my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a huge posek, and I think we should get to know him a bit better. How do I get to Rav Re'em HaKohen? So, if you recall, not so many years ago, I gave a shiur about using a coffee machine on Shabbos. And I allowed it under certain circumstances, and I personally use it. So I got attacked, right and left and up and down, attacked from the whole world for 2 months. Until Rav Re'em HaKohen published in then the Shabbat B'Shabbato free periodical. Do you remember this periodical? It went through a transformation recently, but it used to be a periodical out of the Tzomet Institute. It still is, but it went through a little transformation. He published an article about, can you use an automatic bread machine on Shabbos? And needless to say, Bruce, when he published his article, then my coffee machine looked like nothing in comparison to his bread machine. So because he allowed it, all the fire went to him. So because I saw this article, I called him and I said, listen, I started to speak. And I said, I allowed the coffee machine based on A and B and C. The man didn't let me finish and said, what are you bothering for? It's exactly the same thing. So Baruch Hashem, I owe him a great debt of gratitude. All of a sudden, the attacks went to him and not to me. I already said, well, if a bread machine's allowed, coffee machine is a gulnisht from a gulnisht. And Baruch Hashem, the world continued. In any case, why did I quote Rav Re'em HaKohen? Because about a week ago, we had an international convention of rabbis from around the world via Zoom. And he said the following statement. When Corona hit, there was one great gadol that said, we have to keep the shuls open. The government's just closing down the shuls because it's an anti-religious act. They hate the religious. They hate the people that keep Shabbos and go to Minyan. They want to, you know, that's their main initiative. Not to save us all, but rather to hurt religion. Right? Everyone around this table understands that in Israel, since you've made Aliyah, there's been endless attempts for you to stop keeping mitzvot, correct? Right? Right? You've always had that. People have stopped you from keeping mitzvot, correct? Happens every Monday and Thursday. So this is what this gadol said. Rav Re'em HaKohen called him and said, you better take back that statement. See, he has a temper. He said, if you don't take back that statement, people are going to say that Mishpatei HaTorah Nekama Ba'olam. You see, if you keep Torah and mitzvot, God revenges you. Everyone's going to get sick and die in the name of Minyan. So the first thing you have to consider when you read an article about a family that went into a gas station in order not to violate Shabbos, is it obligatory? Because if it's not obligatory, then what they're doing is they're telling the whole world that the Torah is a revenging Torah that hurts the Jewish people. And that's the first thing you have to consider. The second thing you have to consider is the following. Everybody knows that if on Shabbos you violate one of the malachot b'shogeg, namely you forgot it was Shabbos or you forgot it was Aser, you have to bring a korban chatat in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Correct? Everybody knows that. Here is the Mishnah, here is the Mishnah, here is the Rashi. Now, it's very interesting. What does shogeg mean? Either you forgot it was Shabbos or you forgot that it's Aser on Shabbos. So, the Mishnah uses the term kol ha-shocheach. I would like to suggest this morning, my own chiddush, this is not b'mikre. Why? Because another Mishnah in Masechet Avot says kol ha-shocheach davar echad m'mishnato ma'aleh alav ha-katuv kilu mitchayev b'nafsha. Whoever learned and went out of his way to forget what he learned, he's liable by his own soul. I don't want to translate those words. That's a pretty harsh statement. And the Mishnah quotes a pasuk, Raki shamer lecha, ushbor nafshecha me'od, ben tishkach et advarim asher ra'u einecha, a pasuk that says, do not forget, be very careful not to forget what your eyes saw. Rashi explains, why can't we forget what we heard at Har Sinai? The im taftu otam bitoch shichecha, techashvu shotim. Because if you forget, you'll look like a bunch of imbeciles. Now, what does that mean? That means that you go to a shir. Now, you didn't listen to every word because it's on Zoom. So, you know, one hand's looking at the computer screen, the other hand's looking at the phone. So you heard every other word. And after the shir, because we're in a lockdown, your wife said, no, what's the shir about? So you're not used to your wife asking you what the shir is about because you're not used to seeing your wife after shir. But what are you going to do, lockdown? So you say, oh, the shir was about Shabbos. Really? What did the lecturer say? Well, the lecturer said something about cooking soup, Shabbos, so I guess we have to, this Shabbos, cook a soup. Says Rashi, that's when you look like a bunch of morons because you forgot what you learned. So, I once heard from Rav Moshe David Tendler. Have you heard the name? Rav Moshe David Tendler, the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Moshe David Tendler, his son-in-law and daughter lives in Efrat. So I've seen him many times. He once said the following. I'm not going to tell you the context. I'll just say it's on YouTube. He was very opinionated, and he was opinionated against rabbis who were against organ transplants because they said that the definition of death is not brain death. And he was giving a shir, and in the shir, he quoted his own father, another Rav Tendler. He said, why is a Jew chayav of korban chatas if they do an Aveira on Shabbos? After all, they forgot. No, you forgot. What are you going to do? It's not their fault. They're good people. They just forgot. They just forgot. Said Rav Tendler. I'll tell you why. Rav Tendler Sr., the father. He said, because they're mazed. What are they mazed in? What do they do on purpose? They're mazed in being amaratzim. They went out of their way not to learn Hilchos Shabbos. Who told you to be an amaratz? You go ahead, you didn't learn Hilchos Shabbos. Oh, I didn't know you know how to put on the light. You didn't know. Why didn't you learn? Why didn't you open a book and learn? Shabbos comes every week. It's something frequent. This is not Hilchot Psulei HaMekudoshin. This is not Hilchos Melachim. This is not Hilchos Avelus. This is something relevant every single week to our daily schedule. So why didn't you learn it? You didn't learn it, you're liable. Just like you're liable for Shocheach, you're learning. If you're shocheach, you're learning, you're liable. And if you're shocheach ikar Shabbos, you're liable. You're not liable per se for Shabbos. You're liable for on purpose not learning Hilchos Shabbos. So I don't have much respect at all for people who say, you know, what I know, what I don't know doesn't bother me, doesn't hurt me. I like to be a mediocre Jew. It's good enough for me. So I know there's a Shabbos and I know you can't drive. So I'm going into a gas station. I'm going to shut my mouth because I don't learn too much. I don't have much respect for such people. What do you mean you don't learn too much? It happens every week. You don't want to know what to do? You don't want to keep Shabbos properly? You go ahead and keep a mediocre Shabbos? And when this happens, you do the wrong thing? And then what? You want a prize for it? You have to bring a korban chatas. So before getting into the protocols, I want to say, when you see an article like this, two things. Number one, is it obligatory to go into that gas station? Because if it's not, the people will say the words of the Torah are nekama ba'olam. And that's a harsh statement to say. Closest to Chilul Hashem I know. And number two, if you didn't have to go into that gas station for Shabbos, and you did it anyway because I didn't know, I'm not giving you a prize. I'm saying you're liable. What are you liable for? For being an Am Haaretz. Who let you be an Am Haaretz? Why didn't you learn the protocols of getting stuck in traffic on Friday? So because of this second point, I think it's important that we learn the protocols so we know what to do if, God forbid, it happens to us. So let's begin. It's not rocket science, but we should know. These are the laws. These are the regulations of what you do if you're stuck on traffic on Shabbos, on Friday. Number one, Alex, in order not to be stuck in traffic, what should you do?
Leave with plenty of time stay to home. Spare.
Stay home. Stay home. Next.
Don't travel on Fridays.
Don't travel on Friday. Or if you're not as radical,
leave with time to spare.
There you go. Bruce beautifully has coined a phrase for us, original with Bruce. He just forgot to say stage one. Leave the time with time to spare. There are halachos in Shulchan Aruch about leaving with time to spare. Number one, you're not allowed to leave on a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos because, according to some Rishonim, you may have to be in a situation where you're mechal on Shabbos. There's various heterim for it, like Lidvar Mitzvah. So let's say Friday we get into the car. The Shulchan Aruch says, "En olchim ba'arev Shabbos, yoter migimul parsaot." You're not allowed to travel more than gimul parsaot on Friday, and it tells you when you're allowed to, when you're not allowed to. Suffice it to say, the Mishnah Berurah also says if you're traveling not by foot, but by, listen to this, chariot or donkey, maybe it's less than, it could be more than gimul parsaot. Suffice it to say, you're going away for Shabbos, leave time to spare. That's not relevant in this case for a very simple reason. These people left time to spare. They didn't know there's going to be a traffic jam due to a terrible accident that's going to close the roads. So that's not the problem in this case. But don't leave an hour before Shabbos saying it takes an hour to get there. I hate to say that. That's being naive. And you're not going to get any brownie points for being naive. I believe when you go up to heaven, God's going to judge you. Not if you make mistakes, but if you're naive, he'll judge you. What do you mean? Oh, it takes an hour to get there. So candle lighting is 4:28. I left at 3:28. By golly, I didn't get there. I wonder how that happened. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you have to leave with enough time to get your Shabbos provisions in place. I'm not going to go into the history of this halacha. It's very fascinating. It goes into you stumble upon someone Friday night, they didn't make enough food for you, and there'll be a big fight in the house because there's not enough food. But from our perspective, enough time to get there, to put the Shabbos clock on your alarm, to put the Shabbos clocks on, to get the food on the plata. Enough time. That's the first thing you have to do on a Friday. And there's halachos about it. This is not just common sense. So 3 days before Shabbos, gimel parsaot on Erev Shabbos, be very careful. Number two, everybody knows this particular list. Have you seen it before? Candle lighting time, shkia. Then you have Ben Ashmashal, Tzeita Kochavim of Grod, Tzeita Kochavim of Rabbeinu Tam. Have you seen it before? Nobody?
Yeah.
I'm sure you did. So let's go through it so we can understand it. Number one, this week, I'm talking about this Friday. Plaga Mincha is the first time you can accept Shabbos. It's at 3:43. What we call candle lighting time, 18 minutes before Shkia, is 4:28, as you can see on the screen. And then you have a time called Tosefet, Shabbos, which we'll get into. Then you have Shkia, which is sunset at 4:46. Then you have Tzeita Kochavim number one and Tzeita Kochavim number two. And in Tzeita Kochavim number one, there's about 10 Shitas. And this is a normal Friday. These are the times from our perspective in this year. Look at candle lighting time onwards. And let's begin. So you're in the car. You saw the picture, 179 minutes to Shabbos, bumper to bumper traffic. You're trying. Candle lighting time is 4:28. It is now 4:20. What do you do? So is 4:28 a holy time? It's like 4:28, all bets are off, shut off the car, or not?
No, of course not. No, so, keep driving.
Keep driving. Why keep driving, says Bruce?
You might get there on time.
Indeed. As you can see here in the bottom of the screen, there is a time of candle lighting, 4:28, and then there's a time called Tosefes Shabbos. What's Tosefes Shabbos? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yesh Omrim, Shetzarich Losif Michol HaKodesh. Some say you have to add from Friday on to Shabbos. He says some can say because the Rambam disagrees. If the Rambam didn't disagree, he'd just write it. But because, as you know, Rav Yosef Karo has deference to the Rambam, he wrote some say. Even though that's the way Paskins. He doesn't bring a descending point of view. One second before the question. The Shulchan Aruch says you have to do Tosefes Shabbos, but it's not necessarily 18 minutes, 17 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. It's as much time as you want. Ratzal osit kulo Tosefet Oseh, Ratzal asot mimenu miktzat Oseh, ubilvad, sheyosif eizizman. So, from this perspective, our minhag in Efrat is 18 minutes, 4:28. But if you're in that traffic jam, can you, for example, drive till 4:35? That's before Shkia. And if so, do you need to do Atoras Nedarim? Because every week at Golgos Neros, 18 minutes before, I stop everything. The answer is you don't need to do Atoras Nedarim. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yoredeya that if you have a good minhag that you did for at least once and you want to do it, you should continue doing it. If you want to stop, you have to do Atoras Nedarim. The Dago Mirvava on that Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Nodebi Yehuda, that's only if you want to stop the minhag totally. But if you just want to stop the minhag for 1 week or for 1 year, then you don't need a Torah Nedarim. So for example, this year, because of the terrible lockdown before Pesach, many people were makel on various things regarding Pesach that they were not makel on every year. Koshering dishwashers, eating kidney oat perhaps. You don't need a Torah Nedarim if it's just for once. If it's forever, you need a Torah Nedarim. So that particular Shabbos, 4:28 is not a Kadosh time. You need to add something before Shkia. So before 4:46, you need to add, but you can continue driving, as Bruce said correctly, at 4:28, 4:29, 4:30, 4:35, maybe about 4:40, 4:43, you have to stop for Tosefes Shabbos, and you don't need a Torah Nedarim. So that's number one. Candle lighting time is not Kadosh. If you 1 week want to go ahead and perhaps go a bit more than what we call candle lighting time, as long as it's at least a minute before Shkia. Yes, Bruce. Okay.
Yeah, it's a judgment call that I'm asking. You have a brother-in-law who lives within 10 minutes right off this highway, or you could keep going. And you have to make a judgment call. Should you risk it or contact this brother-in-law, assuming you could contact him, and make a quick pit stop at your brother-in-law, whom, whether you're friendly with him or not. I mean,
why not? So why wouldn't you stop? Why would you risk it?
Because, let's say, it's not your favorite brother-in-law. You haven't spoken to him in years.
Not your favorite brother-in-law is important, but Chilul Shabbos, I believe, is more important than that. Obviously, if you're not in touch, you're not in touch. But if you're in touch, and okay, I don't like him too much, I believe, why should you risk it? But just to know.
So given the opportunity, you'd say really then, if you could get off and stop, you might as well, rather than risking it.
If you can, in a safe way, why not? This is when you can't. You're in the middle of a traffic jam. There's no Jewish community. There's no brother-in-law you like or you don't like around you. There's not even enemies of your family. There's no one. That's what we're talking about. So, number one, Tosefes Shabbos, a minute before Shkia. So even though it says candle lighting time this week, 4:28, you can limshoch until at least 4:43, say. Okay? And then you have to add on Tosefes Shabbos. So we tried. It's now 4:43. And Arthur, the traffic is not stopping. What do we do? Now we get into, from 4:46 on, a time called twilight. The twilight zone is a time in which we assume it's Shabbos. So you have to stop the car at 4:43. What do you do then? And again, not at 4:43, but you prepare it prior. If you happen to know a non-Jew in the area that can do you a favor, give him a call. As a matter of fact, If you stop the car and there's a non-Jew there and you trust him, you can actually tell him, dear non-Jew, can you drive my car? During Ben Ashmashot, you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to do things that are not allowed for you, even on a biblical level. We say this, some of us, on Erev Shabbos between Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv. Not all of us. Some of us daven Nusach Sfard, they don't say it. Some of us have it in the Siddur and just don't say it because they're talking. Some of us find the Parsha sheets more interesting. But if you actually looked, it said, Safek Chashecha, Safek Inach Chashecha. This is what's allowed, this is not what allowed. It's not in there, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Mutar Lomar Le'eino Yehudi, Ben Ashmashos La'asot Kol Melacha. This is not Shabbos per se, this is twilight. So, you can prepare before twilight, if you have someone you can trust who's a non-Jew, please, can you drive my car during Ben Ashmashos? So you have that time between, we said earlier, 4:46 and Seita Kochavim, which the earliest here is 4:59 and whatnot. Ask a non-Jew to drive you. Number three, we finished twilight. It's already the time of Seita Kochavim, which could be 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, 18 minutes after Shkia, maybe 20-something minutes after Shkia. We'll get to that point of view. What do we do then? Then we have a shita we can rely on called Rabbeinu Tam. Have you ever heard of Zman Rabbeinu Tam? Zman Rabbeinu Tam is 72 minutes after Shkia is Tzeita Kochavim, meaning Shabbos begins much later than what we think. It's pitch black. You can still drive your car to go to the mikveh, Arthur. Why do I say that? Because there is a part of Judaism that believes in this. And they're not totally crazy, but rather they machmir for Rabbeinu Tam on Motzei Shabbos, Safek Doraisa Lechumra. But some of them believe Rabbeinu Tam is correct, even on Friday. Who are these people that believe that it's correct? The Shulchan Aruch. V'zman tosefet u'mitchilat ha'shkia, etc. She'en ha'shemesh niret ala aretz atzman ben ha'shmashmot. Ve'azman hazeh hu gimel milin vareva. That's shitat Rabbeinu Tam. The Shulchan Aruch paskind, like Rabbeinu Tam, in terms of when Seita Kochavim is. So on Friday, perhaps, we see it's dark. We don't want to drive the car. But just remember that there is a shita that says it's not Shabbos yet. And that's the Shulchan Aruch, no more, no less, based on Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim. The Gra disagrees amongst the Gaonim and many others. And he uses the term v'hachush makhish. What do those words mean? What's chush? Chameshet hachushim. My sense. My sense denies it. I see it's pitch black outside. How can it be Friday? And indeed, in Israel at least, we don't have anyone that says that on Friday, even though candle lighting says 4:28, it's really 72 minutes after Shkia. And at 5 o'clock, I'm getting into my car to go to mikveh before Shabbos. But you should know, have you heard of Rav Yoilish? Have anyone here heard of Rav Yoilish from Satmar? Rav Yoilish, yes. Teitelbaum, after he was saved by the Kastner train, came to Israel in 1940-something. And he, from Satmar, believed in Zman Rabbeinu Tam. So on Friday, pitch black, 4:50, he gets into his car and goes to mikveh. And he, one of the reasons that he was thrown out of Israel at that time was because of that. People said, you're chayav skila. And he said, what do you want from me? I'm following the Shulchan Aruch. So on a Friday, when you're stuck in traffic, you should know that up to 72 minutes after Shkia, you do have leeway. And if you don't want to be that mekel, then at least Amir al-Akum would be okay. Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Tam is correct. So we don't do that on a normal Shabbos. But this is not normal. This is b'di'evet. And indeed, say you're in a taxi and the taxi's driven by a non-Jew, I don't believe you have to tell him to stop if you're within the 72 minutes after Shkia. Because Rabbeinu Tam is still a shita, and a good shita, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. Finally, we got this. Have you ever heard of the Shabbos guy? There's no such thing. Now you're in Shabbos per se. It's Seita Kochavim according to this, And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, whatever way you slice it, on Shabbos per se, we are not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for us what's forbidden. There are exceptions to the rule, which is probably why most Jews think everything's mutter. You know, when you have exceptions to the rule, then you have to keep a head on. When is it allowed? When is it not allowed? And therefore, Jews basically say it's totally allowed. How do I know I'm correct? Let's take another law where sometimes it's allowed, sometimes it's encouraged, sometimes it's discouraged. Lashon Hara. Do you know any Jews that keeps the laws of Lashon Hara? I was once at a Mincha Minyan. And after the Mincha Minyan, a guy said, okay, we'll just learn a few halachos Lashon Hara. And someone whispered in my ear, who does this guy think he is to teach me about Lashon Hara? So you understand, Lashon Hara sometimes allowed, sometimes not. The Chafetz Chaim, who devoted his life to it, wrote a book about when it's allowed. But because there's exceptions to the rule, Jews think it's totally allowed. So we want another example, Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, certain things are allowed, certain things are not allowed. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch opens Hilchas Chol HaMoed. So what do Jews think? Everything's allowed. Chol HaMoed. Because certain things are allowed. Now, I believe that's the reason why Amira La'akum, many people think, is totally allowed. It's not, but there's exceptions to the rule. So this fine gentleman who wears his Shabbos Goy shirt, and on the back of it says, and I quote, forgot to set your lights? Anything muktzeh, I'm here to help. Just don't tell me what to do. You all know that on Shabbos you have to hint, and you're not allowed to say. If Amira La'akum is allowed, sometimes it's only allowed by hinting. So, based on this, what do? We're in our car. We pass candle lighting. We're past Shkia. We're at Seit HaKochavim Mamish. We're in that gas station. Can we ask a non-Jew directly, can you do me a favor and drive our car? Can you or can't you? The Ramah Paskins, that there is a Deya of the Bal HaItur that says that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew on Shabbos to do what you're not allowed to do, even in a Malacha de Oraisa, like driving your car. We don't paskin that way. The Ramah discourages it and says, "V'yesh la'achmir b'makom she'ein tzorech gadol." The Harova poskim cholkim asfar hazo. So, is there a tzorech gadol here or not? What do you say?
Yes.
Of course there is. People sit at home on Shabbos. They have their heat on, right? They're wearing their Shabbos clothes, and oy, the plata went off, and they think, "Oh, you know, only Shabbos." Some of them somech on this balaitur. Afilu b'malacha gemura. Kal v'chomer, the son of the kol shekain, that in a case where you're in a gas station and it's freezing, you can ask a non-Jew. Kol shekain of the kol shekain of the kol shekain if you have kids, because the Ramah paskins that a kid under a certain age is like a chole she'ein bo sakana. What's a chole she'ein bo sakana? Someone that feels so terrible, they can't come to shir, Bruce. They have to go lay down. That's a chole she'ein bo sakana. So on Shabbos, if you feel so bad that if it was a Sunday you would call in sick, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do anything for you. From a derabanan, like buy you medicine, to a d'oraisa, cook you a meal. The poskin paskin, like the Shmira Shabbos Gehilchasa here on the bottom, that a kid under 8 or 9, or here, yelad al giyatesha ad eser, is like a cholesha in bosakana. What illness is this young kid suffering from? So I once heard this from Rav Herschel Schechter. He said, what illness is a baby suffering from? The baby suffering from babyhood. That's the term he used. What's babyhood? Babyhood is like this. Arthur asks his wife for a drink. What do you want? Coca-Cola. We don't have Coca-Cola. So Arthur says, all right, not the end of the world. I'll take water. You tell a baby, the baby wants a bottle. You don't give the baby a bottle. It screams its head off like the world's coming to an end. That's called babyhood. Babyhood. I love that term. So, this fine family has young kids. They are like a cholesha ainbo sakana. So even if you don't want to ask a non-Jew to do a true malacha for you, you can obviously do it if you have young kids. And therefore, in this case, what should have been done is A, candle lighting time, push a little more. B, get that non-Jew. You could ask him during Ben HaShmashos to save you. And even on Shabbos, if you have young kids with you, you always have the Bala Iter in your back pocket. And you should have done it And unfortunately, I don't know if it was done or not. But quite frankly, obviously, if you don't want to even go this far, pillows, blankets, bringing you things in, without an Eruv, in a place where it's not a Malacha D'Oraisa to carry, for sure would be allowed. And even if it is a Malacha D'Oraisa to carry from, I don't know, Majdal Shams to where you are, to this gas station, it would obviously be allowed if you have young kids. So therefore, the protocols for an Erev Shabbos when you're in traffic is candlelighting time is not kadosh, asking a non-Jew, Zman Rabbeinu Tam to be somechan, Ben Ashmashot, non-Jew. And if you don't learn these protocols, and you just say, I'm a Sabbath observer, I'm going to stay there and freeze to death, I don't give you any brownie points. Quite the contrary. I think you're embarrassing the Jewish people and you're doing harm to the Jewish people. But if you would have said, okay, it's Erev Shabbos, take out the protocols, what do I do? And I'm just going to add one more line, and with this I conclude. I don't believe a rabbi was consulted. I don't believe these people consulted a rabbi. Had they consulted a rabbi, the article wouldn't have gotten into the paper. And I leave it with you, because I don't think any rabbi with half a brain would have told them, yes, be in the gas station for Shabbos, a good Shabbos, I'll call you Motzei Shabbos after I make Avdolah, after Zman Rabbeinu Tam and I sing Eliyahu Hanavi. I don't think any rabbi with half a brain would have told them that. So this is high stakes. This is Shabbos. Call a rabbi. What do I do? Give me the protocols. And a rabbi would have helped this family. So with the admiration I have for Shmira Shabbos, if the article is correct, they didn't get any brownie points with me. I don't give brownie points for being on Amaretz. And there's protocols to follow. And if we follow them, we can be Mekadshei Hashem, because we act normally within the confines and the dictates of the internal Torah. I thank you for listening, gentlemen. I feel better. You were like my psychologists. I let off the steam. Now I'm a puppy. Ask me for a donation.
Thanks. Sure. Thank you. Sure.
Have a good day, everyone. Take care.
But of course, call the rabbi.